morning. I would like to welcome everyone present today, the 13th and compliment of the new year in the world at the time. Madam Half of the chairperson of the committee is unable to attend the meeting today. Therefore, I'm going to elect an acting chairperson to start on today's meeting. This is according to the NA Rule 131. Saying that if the chairperson is not present or unable to perform the duty, we should then elect an acting chairperson. So I would like to have some nominations, please. Madam Fang Campaign.
Mrs.
Fang Campaign. No, we are not thinking Mrs. Fang.
May I have the privilege to propose Honorable Lungi Zabashe Mungane Zabashe.
Can I have a second for the nomination? Let the floor line.
Thank you. I second the name of the chair.
Thank you for that. I would like then to pronounce Madam Mrs. Nangatasha as an acting chairperson of today. Thank you.
Good morning, members. Thank you, acting chair, our committee secretary, and I'm taking over from myself. And members, you are all welcome. And I would like to take this opportunity to appreciate the confidence that you showed on me to chair this meeting of today. In that order, are there any apologies?
The apologies I have one from Ms. Mark.
Thank you. Then the agenda. Okay. I've been informed. Okay, maybe before we move to the agenda, I've been informed that one of us who usually attend our meeting, our PLO, Ms. Taitai, has lost a father, and I would like to take this opportunity to convey our condolences as a committee to her and the family. Thank you. We have an agenda that was forwarded to us. I hope members will still have it. Only the presentation that you are going to receive from today on our second quarter and the third quarter, and then from a program to admit on the program. Is there anything that you would like to read on the agenda? Members or the department?
Thank you. Chair, if the committee allows us to come back and present the item of this order as a separate arrangement, as a separate presentation, we prefer that. We thought that there's a lot to talk about in terms of the IT governance that we need to present to you and develop in a better position to do justice to that today. But if we include it with the financial and the non-financial performance for the second and the third quarter, it will not get the attention that it deserves. That will be guided by itself.
Thank you. I can see members noting. Can I get the indication that I'm reading you correctly, members? Are we agreeing?
Yeah.
Thank you. On that note, I think we shall proceed. As I indicated earlier on, that there are two quotas, and I would like to take the second quota as tabled, so that we focus on the third quota. Okay? Thank you. Mr. Changani, if you want to start with the introduction, you can do so. And Patel, go ahead now. I think that members, we haven't changed really. Members of the committee have been like this for quite some time now. Mr. Changan, I think all your members are known to, I mean, our members of the committee are known to your department now.
Chair, except to say that the CFO in the panel is Lorena Mahati, has joined us on the 1st of February. You will recall that she was at Imruli for 2 years now, for almost 2 years, yes. So she's come back to the department as a CFO, and she started on the 1st of February. You know her. She was here in this position, and she left it now. She's back again.
Okay. Thank you. You are welcome, Madam CFO. You learn our names if you've got new faces that are new. While we are away, you learn our names as we go along. Thank you. You can go ahead. You just start here. You can teach us.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I propose that we must introduce ourselves, because I don't think they all know us. Even us, we don't know some of them.
Oh, okay. So that's the heading of the committee. We shall do that. I was introduced, and I think we can start from the left.
The other member is Yabu Angeli Fuhua, and I is the special committee.
Good morning. My name is Humphrey Mnemeze, member of the portfolio committee.
Good morning, everybody. Nani Nguva Kiswapa Mugwane, Ilungu Lari Committee.
Good morning, everyone. Magali Gana, ordinary member of the committee.
Good morning, Mr. Koti. My name is Hali Gataga, the member of the portfolio committee. Thank you.
Thank you, members. I suppose we can finish it to introduce
you. Thank you, Chair. My name is Mbura Luchanga. I'm the Deputy DG in the Department of Human Settlements. And my colleagues will introduce themselves as well.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Neville Jenny, the Acting Chief of Operations for the National Department.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair and Committee Members. My name is Sharon Horton. I'm with the Ministry.
Good morning, everybody. Mili Nekaba, Assistant Director General.
Good morning, my name is Joseph Amadi, in the Office of the DG.
Good morning, I'm from the North Pole, from the Session.
Good morning, my name is Lucina Sidi from the National Department of Finance.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Abel Mashavan, in the Office of the Director.
Good morning, I'm Ifilem Kumala in Inspection.
Good morning, my name is Yamin Kumbe, I'm from Human Settlements.
Good morning, my name is Denzel Brown, I'm the Housing Development Agency Director Office.
Good morning, my name is
Nicole Kumala,
I'm the Housing Development Agency Director Office.
Good morning, my name is Nam Zimbedi from the HSA.
Thank you very much. Our guests are also welcome to the committee. Thank you. I think we shall start now. You can do so. Okay.
Good morning, honorable members and colleagues.
My name is Fabio Mugoni, from the staff to the community.
Thank you. So now you can really start.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to come and present the second and third quarter results, performance results for the community and the sector as a whole. We're not going to waste much of your time. We would want to present the overall performance, the environmental program performance, the financial performance, both the financial and the non-financial performance, and then we will dwell on the mitigation, performance risk mitigation recovery. Chair, I think upfront it's important to state that we've tried to be more heads-on in this kind of financial year. We've had a significant number of meetings and visits to programs and projects in provinces that have not been performing well. There are three provinces that have been pulling us down for some time, but we managed to turn the picture around, but it's not at the level where we want it to be. In those provinces, it's Limpopo, it's Northern Cape, and Gauteng. Those are the three provinces that have not been performing very well. You will see the figures as well as we continue to present. It's also important, Chair, to state upfront that in terms of the Urban Settlements Development Grant, which is the grant that goes to the metropolitan municipalities, there are two metros that have not been performing well, and the metros have not been performing well for the last 3 years, and that is the city of Cape Town and the city of Ekurhuleni. The two metros have had rollovers for the last 2 years. And the picture doesn't look good this year as well. If you look at both metros and see it in the presentation that they are sitting at 29% at the end of their second quarter, which is January or end of December. They were sitting at 29%. We meeting the city of Cape Town and the city manager this afternoon to discuss their performance with NASA, with the operational team. The developmental operational team has met with the city of Cape Town officials fortnight ago. The COO was met with the operational team in Ekurhuleni to discuss the performance. We're quite convinced that they're going to find it extremely difficult to spend their allocations here. So what we normally do where there's poor performance, we have to make some hard decisions because there is a massive demand for funding in the sector, and we thought that we have to do that and make sure that we spend the money. If it is not doing well, we can't afford to over us, not in the current financial year, not in next year. So we'll have to make some hard decisions about how we save the money so that it stays in the sector, that it needs to go into programs and projects that are performing within the sector. You will notice that already we have received allocation letters for the next financial year, and the grant has been HTG grant has been reduced by 1.6 billion already, which then means that we need to make sure that the little grant that we have, it performs. The HTG grant has been reduced by more than 800 million over the next 3 years. And it's not an accident that it's been reduced by 800 million. You know, 800 million has been rolled over almost every year if you look at the performance of the grant. So if you have consistent roles, the message that you're sending to the fiscal and the treasurer is that you don't need the money. So which is why we have to make decisions in the year and make sure that we spend the money and spend the money. So I'm not going to waste much of your time. I'm going to ask my colleague, Michael Chin, to take us through the presentation. We have just concluded the third quarter performance reviews with all provinces and all the municipalities here in Cape Town last week. So we know exactly what is happening in each and every province. We know which programs and which projects are not performing at this stage. And we do have some mitigation measures to deal with. poor performance, especially in the three provinces, which is Limpopo, Cape, and Gauteng. Thank you, Chair. With your permission, I'm going to ask them to leave.
Good morning, Chair.
Good morning.
My name is
Mr. Kumalo.
I'm from as indicated by the acting DG, I'll just go through the presentation and with the permission of yourself and acting DG, Mr. Patachi will do the financial part. Here's the presentation outline as per the documents that circulated, and I hope we've ordered copies of it. That just gives us the presentation outline. Here's the overall performance in terms of slide 3, and some of the slides are not marked. This gives us the overall performance, particularly in relation to the department. This is in relation to the programs, and we summarize that. So you'll see that over the quarter, October to December 2015, in terms of the ABP targets, the department managed to meet 44% of it, and what we weren't able to achieve was 56%. Chair, I think what the acting DG has indicated is that we'll come back to some of the points that underlies the 56%, but I think it's also important, particularly that as the department, as the portfolio, as the ministry, what we need to be able to do is to indicate, yes, there are red lights, and there's a lot of it in those two, in that pie graph, but I think we'll see that in the presentation there are a substantial amount of issues that we can look forward to as positives, particularly from the national department and the sector, and it's important that we bear that in mind. So in relation to the third quarter performance per program, you'll see that that just outlines that 56 and 44 performance, where the red flags are, where the areas of chair. Particularly in relation to the second part, or the second, you'll see it says HS, PSD, and PDS. That's Program Delivery Support, that's PDS, and then the Human Settlements Special Planning and Policy Support, that's the second. Those two, the middle two, represent what we will call the engine room of the department, and part of what create some of the underperformances, particularly in relation to those two, you'll see is particularly around the capacity and the technical issues that are there within the department, and in the mediation and recommendations we make certain mitigation measures that we want to take. Chair, this just gives you an indication, and I thought as part of what we have what we want to present, was this just gives you an indication. This graph gives you an indication of what we've done over the past 12 years until now. And you'll see, as at the 31st of December, we were sitting at 107,724 houses and service sites that were delivered. For the entire period last year, we managed to deliver 143,911. The objective, particularly for this financial year, the commitment that we've made, both acting DG and myself, together with the senior team, is that we will turn that graph around. So, quarter 3, sir. So, Chair, there were two presentations. One was Q2 and one was Q3. Thanks, Chair. So, the point about where we want to be able to do, what we want to be able to make, the commitment we made, particularly as officials, both to minister, is that we will send that graph. And you'll see this is the active management, and this is probably one of the highlights, or one of the sort of the green shoots of progress that we want to achieve. So at the end of December, that's what we look like. Chair, in relation to the next slide, and that gives you the 15-16 delivery and expenditure for April to December 2015. So I think that the portfolio and as oversight, this gives you an indication of over the last three quarters, this is what the money that was allocated to the department and the sector achieved. So it gives you a provisional breakdown, and it also gives you the annual. So the annual target in terms of service sites for the three quarters, we were supposed to have delivered 56,135. In terms of what we achieved, it was 34,344. Okay, you'll see, as the DG has indicated, there is three provinces that, if you look at what they speak about there, Limpopo had to deliver 3,566 but delivered nothing. Northern Cape was supposed to have delivered 933, but they delivered 120. And then Gauteng, their target was 11,000, but they delivered 8,700. And then obviously there's some concern or issues around KZN, but there's mitigation measures around that. So you'll see the total of the 107 that I gave you is made up of the 34,344 and the 73,380. That was the houses completed and the delivery targets that we're sitting at. So overall performance is that after three quarters we were sitting at 66% of what we had targeted against what we had indicated we would deliver. In terms of expenditure, we spent 76%. That's in relation to the grant. Okay, this gives us an indication of what we spend in terms of the next slide, and that's slide 7 of members of collection. This gives you the HSDG expenditure performance at 31 December, and as I've indicated, as per what we're doing is we're focusing on what. So the total budget available for this year is 18 billion in terms of the HSDG, including rollovers is 378 million. So the total available is 18.5 billion. Up until the 31st of December, we had transferred 14.4 billion, and of that 14.4 billion, the provinces had spent 14 billion. Okay. The variance of spent versus transferred was 732, and the available is 4.5 billion. So that's there. So we've transferred, as a percentage of voted funds, 79%, and the percentage spent as a total of available is 76%. And the unspent amount as available is 24%. So that will indicate that. Okay, this just gives an indication of the quarter three. So what we've done is you'll see we have revised some of the slides. So it gives portfolio members and yourself here an understanding of what was projected for quarter three and what was delivered for quarter three in terms of the business plan. That's in relation to the business plan. Okay, this slide is the one that we utilize both as minister and ourselves to indicate are we doing well and where are the watch lists and what are the issues that need to be dealt with. You'll see there's a lot more red on the right hand side than black, and that's been there. So, but given the point that the acting DG had indicated, we've got an active program in project management, but the concern there, okay, is around the question of Gauteng, Limpopo, and then also the Free State province. But that was just for quarter three. But if you it against the next slide will probably give us a better indication of where we're sitting at the. Okay. Okay, that was just the quarter three versus quarter for the targets. So in many respects, you'll see that in your Q3, there is some major variances, and particularly the variances arise out of particularly December being what we call in the construction industry a dead month, and that also then picks up during that. So they are. The one issue that I did raise was the big variance there was the one around the Limpopo province, and we'll come back to that one and explain some of the issues that we've dealt with on that one. To the HSDG expenditure, next slide is October to December. So you'll see what we've done is that we've tried to just give a comprehensive picture against the quarter versus the annual. So what you can do is that as a portfolio, you can then draw conclusions on that. The delivery trends, as I've indicated, one of the things that we're trying to do is to keep our eye on the ball in relation to what we need to be able to do. We said that we want to deliver 163,654. If that target is to be achieved in the fourth quarter, we will have to deliver 55,000 housing units. That's service stand and houses in the fourth quarter. Chair, without being a pessimist, we think it's possible, and there's been quite a serious, and you'll see indication of active project management, but also a situation that the department has said that what we need to be able to do as the national department is based on accountability, take decision that is in the best interest of the sector as a whole and the country as a whole. The service tax, that just gives you an indication of where we are at in terms of the current trajectory. So since 1998-99, we've delivered 987,000. Housing units delivered 3 million. The status quo, and this slide just basically gives an indication of per province what the delivery is, and where we want to be in relation to the Q4. So if we meet our targets in terms of overall, Eastern Cape will have to deliver 8,000, Free State 3,000, Gauteng Province 10,000, KZN 15,000. Limpopo 5,000, Mpumalanga 4,199, Northern Cape 1,468, the Northwest 85, and the Western Cape 6,300. So you'll see that 55,000 just indicates that what we're saying as a department and based on our holding us accountable bureaucrats, we're saying that that's possible, given the performances that we've been able to achieve to date. This is a slide, Chair, that we've put in that we'll come back to at the end of the fourth quarter, and you can hold us accountable to say this is what we said we would achieve, this is what we didn't achieve. So it's more of a, I know the acting DG indicated we put in our heads on the block, but I suppose that's what we're supposed to do. That's the delivery performance, and I hope that gives us a comprehensive picture of, particularly given the fact that a substantial amount of the 30 billion goes into this program. Chair, the next couple of slides just give an indication actual performance per program, and we focus particularly on the communication of importance. Chair, is the issue around the executive programs around communication, because one of the complaints that has been raised, and I think previously raised, was that as a department we don't actually get sufficient communication and marketing of what we do as a department. Okay, that next slide just gives you an indication of the engagement that the department has undertaken. And that includes the N2 Gateway Presidential Housing launch, the handover of military vets houses in Woma in Nelson Mandela, a a cleanup campaign. You might want to ask why a cleanup campaign. Okay, part of the USDG money that we utilize is the comprehensive UM settlements focus. So particularly in relation to that, it's one of the issues that we've spoken of. Mangaung in the Free State, the launch of the military base program, the launch of the youth brigade in the Western Cape, and also handover of houses in Warma. Yeah, not only in relation to that, there's been private sector engagements between our ministry and the banking association. There's the presidential imbizo at the end to Gateway. There's the water and sanitation handover, the youth contractor bill, stakeholder. So just give you an indication that the department has what it's done in relation to communication and outreach, and it justifies some of the expenditure in relation to the legislation which the CFO will present. We've given you a highlight of some of the important aspects in relation to program performance, and one of the issues that which portfolio has asked us is the consolidation of the DFIs, and that presentation is on the agenda for portfolio, but we've just given you for the third quarter what we did in relation to that. Then policy review and implementation support. Of importance is that the draft white paper is in the process of being consulted. There's a policy for land inclusive development, and you remember as the portfolio we have presented that together with the HK, so we've taken that further. There's two municipalities assessed for accreditation. The mine worker strategy has been implemented, and there's housing opportunities that were yielded in Marikana. The proposed backyard policy program, and then of course there's the human settlements intervention support in Nelson Mandela. Okay, that just gives you, that slide gives an indication of what the delivery was, particularly in relation to the sector performance for this term of office. And those are the next two slides. Chair, then I'll ask the CFO to take us through the next, and that gives us this indication of the financial performance in terms of expenditure.
Thank you very much. Chairperson, honorable members, good morning. I'll just take through the members through the finances of the department. And if we look at the slide that is showing, it doesn't give you the picture of the overall department, but only the transfers to the entities and the households that we take care of in terms of your federal schemes and your UN Habitat as to the end, where you will see your 8.7 million and your 1.3 downward. But I just want an indication here to say that this takes part of the whole 30 billion of the budget. And if you look at it, almost 689 tends to be our operational budget, supporting the 29.8 billion. Now, if you look at the 29.8 billion and the 689 at the most, that supports, there's a bit of a disjuncture, because the operational budget is supposed to be at least taking up to where we can be able to spend the 29.8 billion. But that's not the case, because we try to manage our operational budget to its limit. But as we move forward, and as the DG has indicated earlier on today, that part of our budget has been cut, it gives us sort of a short sight to say, will we be able to even manage? But as I indicated in part 5, that we will manage our budget. But as of the 31st of December 2015, this stands to be your total allocation to your transfers, which stands at 29.8 billion. Of that amount, if we start with the main grant that takes your human development development grant, 14.4 billion of it has been transferred to all provinces. Your 6.1 in terms of your urban development, settlement development grant, and your capacity grant to develop 100 million has been transferred to all natural, including the 6.1. The total to that effect, which tends to be our expenditure in the department, sums to 21 billion, which is a 26.6. The difference of it being the amounts that are not being transferred to the provinces yet, because at that time, obviously, our payment schedule was not allowing us to transfer the entire amount. So that's part of management and financial administration. So you will actually see 9% of your money having gone to your provinces,
as well as the as a part of the transfer, and I think that the HCO will indicate earlier that 72% of this amount has been spent in relation to the non-financial target that he presented. The 58% of it goes to your to urban settlement development grant. Then we have a couple of funds that goes to your entities to the value of 885 million. 34 of it from an operational part of the social housing regulatory authorities being transferred, not transferred yet to your SHRA, and your CISOs, which is the community scheme number at 89% reflecting expenditure. We've already transferred the entire amount of your National Housing Finance Corporation to the tune of 100%. Your NHS has already received this amount or has received the entire allocation. We, at that time, sitting with an amount of 564 that would not have been transferred at that time because of the payment schedule of the transfer as approved in terms of the projection. So to that effect, we've spent 38%. Now your transfer sits at almost in total of that inclusive to the 66%. But the entire allocation, which is spending it 29.8 billion, of which 21 has been spent to the tune of 70%. Next slide, level. This is just an indication of the expenditure that would include some of the transfers, but as the drawing from the departmental budget of 30 billion, we have spent 29.4 of the entire 30.5 to the value of your 70%. The variance has, we can explain it in different ways to say that at that time we would not be in a position to spend the entire month because it was 6 months, rather 9 months ending in December 2015. So 9 billion stands to be amounts that still has to be transferred to our entities, including your provinces and the operational budget that needed to carry us to the end of the financial year, which is 3 months from January to March 2016. So as at 31 December, the department has spent 70%, of which we would have wanted to be at 75% in terms of our drawing and in terms of our projection. But the 5% actually shows different variation in terms of our expenditure, whereby had indicated some challenges, particularly from the provincial as well as from the USDG, that some of the metros and provinces could not spend the entire amount allocated to them by the year ending 31 December. The next slide shows the projected amount as for the department, and obviously it takes it back to the point that they're saying some of the monies we could not spend because of what we had projected. We had projected to spend 22.3 billion, that will be the next slide level, 22.3 billion in terms of our budget, including the transfers to entities as well as provinces and metros, and the expenditure to that effect stands at 21.4, which is 96%. But if you relate it, the 96% varies in terms of the programs. You would have your 96% on your administration, which actually is performing at its best in terms of the program, as well as your housing development finance. But that 96% does not mean the entire amount provinces have spent of the metros, but it reflects what we have to face in terms of our projected amount. We have a bit of a variation in terms of the over expenditure in terms of the program too, wherein the 4% amount that is to be set off from the little projection that we had in terms of the period. However, if you look at it, it sets itself off because we're not outside the target, within the target. We are managing our program fee because of the program that at that point in time could not spend its entire...
Yeah, I think something is appearing with the system. If you check the site form, it's a look global to Mike. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. We have stopped at 96%. I was indicating that there's a program 3 where we had our NAF program that is
slowly progressing, but as we will show in our last quarter of the financial year, there is a bit of a progress as far as that program is concerned, because it supports the interest in terms of our upgrading of the form of the team. The next slide,
just check, I can see you put something over the radio button, maybe it's the one that's causing the projection from the...
My indication on this one was, although the emphasis was the two rollovers that the provinces of Limpopo and Mpumalanga had in terms of the amount that could not be spent in the previous financial year. And that takes the budget of the voted amount from 18.2 to 18.5, as the CEO had indicated. We are giving some two red flags here as an emphasis to say there are big differences in terms of the amount that they transferred to the provinces. Limpopo at this point in time being the culprit because they are dealing with the 308 million that comes from the previous financial year, and that takes the budget to 1.5. And if you look at the entire one, would say as of the transferred percentage of the voting funds, 79% was reasonable. But if you go line by line in terms of your provinces, you would realize that the very same two that we highlighted, in a way, including your Free State, had a percentage of 74 in terms of the transfer amount, but the bigger amount relates to your variances. The spent amount of the percentage available for December is 76%, and it tallies back to the 76% that has been indicated when we were showing your non-financial in relation to the financial, non-financial and financial statements of your non-financial report. But if you look at the amount that we spent as the amount of transferred, it gives you an amount of 98%. That suggests to say almost everything that we have sent to provinces, in exception of Gauteng, most provinces managed to spend that money. Your Gauteng having a 20% variance, and your Western Cape with a 6% variance, because our expectation is that at least by that time, all the funds as they had committed them in their APP as well as in their business plan would have been spent, but that was not the case. But I think mostly it's the issue of the fact that we worry about the rollover from Limpopo that does not show us a good picture, and in terms of your non-financial information as well. That on its own takes us to a point whereby we have to do the analysis as well as the review in terms of your 6 months and your 9 months ending 31 December, wherein some interventions had to be made
by our highest level top structure in that includes the WinMap, and a decision to get, and I think it has been indicated in the past that if provinces would not spend a certain amount by a certain period, the national department has the power in terms of the Division of Revenue Act to intervene and see where they could actually spend the money back instead of it going back to national, while other provinces are in need of that. To that effect, never go to the next slide. It was seen to be something that could not spend its entire budget, and as the analysis depicted, that 1.2 was not going to be spent by Gauteng until the end of March. So the intervention suggested that 1.2 of the entire amount of Gauteng, which was the amount that was left to be transferred to Gauteng towards the end of the financial year, to be stopped and withheld from Gauteng. And as you would know, that the dollar allows us to take money away from one province and reallocate to provinces that are in a position to absorb the funding within that particular period, as well as be able to show some units or houses at the end of the day, be it in the form of units or credit stamps. So of the entire amount of 1.2, 908 million was stopped following all the processes in terms of your Division of Revenue Act. 308 of that has been earmarked to go to your KZN, 100 million to Northern Cape, and these are provinces that actually show a perpetuating state or performance, a good performance towards the end of the period. So there was an inability of them receiving the amount as additional to the allocated funding because it was not enough. And the dog is to your mining camps in the Northwest and 400 to our Eastern Cape, particularly for the intervention at the Nelson Mandela municipality. I apologize. The 300 million that forms part of 1.2 was also earmarked for use by SDA together with the housing, together with some provinces, the metros as well, particularly in terms of the intervention that would actually bring you to say the land purchase is part of that as well. So that amount has been transferred to housing, and the housing in line with HDA had entered into a implementation protocol to spend the money within its metros, in particularly the issue of the land purchases and the rest. Having indicated that... Having indicated, Chair, I did indicate that your Division of Revenue Act was followed, but the process also, for me to be slow on this one, suggests that after everything had been done, the money needs to be recovered. Because you would notice that Gauteng had its own allocation, other provinces had their own allocation. Now, if you add more money, you need to gazette them. So we need a special gazette from the National Treasury. So all the documenting had been sent to National Treasury to request the special gazette. But to date, and I must indicate because I'm just one way or other preempting the question, that had not been done yet simply because the appropriation statement had not been signed to date. And National Treasury is not in a position to can gazette if the adjusted appropriation by Parliament has not been signed off. So we are still waiting for the gazetting of these amounts for us to be able to transfer them to the provinces as highlighted. So we are not in a position to can say your case and would receive the amount of 300 rand as indicated. But as soon as the special gazette kicks off, we will transfer. National Treasury is also waiting, but we are in communication with National Treasury. Following that, the minister held its conference, or rather the workshop with contractors, wherein the concern there was the amount of cash flow challenges that our contractors had in terms of them not being paid on time. And during that process, there was an indication that we would take the responsibility as a national department to ensure that the contractors are paid. As a result of that, we took a decision to bring back the money that was supposed to be given to the particularly mostly affected provinces that are supposed to be in March, to be brought forward to be
transferred in February, and those transfers got affected on the 5th of February. And those provinces affected had to pay, upon the analysis, all the outstanding amounts that needed to pay for the cash flow problems to be minimized within those provinces. And there were a number in essence. The next slide shows you the performance of your HSDG with those reallocations. It's just to say that as soon as the special gazette kicks in, your provinces differing, you would have your housing being reduced to an amount of 4 billion from 4.9 by the 908 that we have shown. The Eastern Cape receiving an amount of 400 million and taking your budget to 2.4, as well as your Northern Cape and Northwest, including your KZN, to receive an amount in terms of the reallocation. And the budget obviously would stay the same because we are not receiving additional money. Instead, we are redirecting funds within the province. But the expenditure still stays the same. Rather, the expenditure will decrease because the money is off the redirected fund will actually shorten what has been indicated, in contrast to the money that they had originally received from the department. But if you take out these monies, your expenditure still goes back to your 96% of the amount transferred. The following slide gives an indication of all the variables that the HSDG buys outside your top structure. And the finance-linked individual subsidy tends to be one of them. If you look at the funds that we have allocated in terms of all the provinces, because they are also targeting this in terms of the business plan, the price to that effect goes to 2,000, your units, and a 2.7. Funds allocated to that particular end this program gives an amount of 235 million. Of that, only 1.4 units from different provinces have been received or that are achieved, and the expenditure to that comes to your 54 million. We don't have any figures yet from the other provinces, or rather we did not have any preference of that program against provinces during that period. So hopefully by the end of February, as we shall receive our preliminary expenditure, we would have those monies and units achieved within that program by others. There was a bit of rectification from units that was expected, and I think they stand at a tune of 6,000. 471 has been set aside to rectify those units, and of that, 552, which was even more than one could actually indicate. But I think probably what they had to do was redirect funds to avoid an unauthorized expenditure to this effect. Now, if you look at the target, they have actually overachieved the target to the quantity of 6.4. Your off, which also supports the top structure as well, it's sitting at 805 million, which is 5%, and it's standard and gazetted dispatch of all the 18.2 billion. 610 of that amount has been expended to date in terms of your third quarter. Disaster relief tends to be the amount that also forms part of the grant at earmarks, particularly for those provinces in exception of the Free State and Northern Cape. 410 has been set aside to that, which would have yielded 301 unit size as well as 1.4 units. 199 has been spent by various provinces, the highest being your house, the KwaZulu-Natal, which we do know some of the issues, particularly with the setup in KZN. So 92 million of that has been extended to that. Chair, that takes care of your financial performance. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Chair, just the next couple of slides are repeats of the previous ones. Chair, that I present. What we need to go to is the slide that speaks about the urban settlement development grant.
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
My indication earlier on was the amount that we transferred to entities, including our provinces and our metros, and this forms part of the money that goes directly to the metros in terms of the Division of Revenue Act, a separate schedule from your HSDG. Now, this is one of the grants that also an intervention had to be taken by National, given the nature of the grant, number one, and the issues of the rollovers that the DG has spoken to, and you will recall that the DG has spoken of Ekurhuleni and the city of Cape Town having the highest rollover from the previous financial year. And the two metros, as you look at it, they've also been treated as red flags, as such. Now, if you look at the two, it symbolizes the fact that the two provinces are perpetuating underspending within the grant from the previous financial year. At this point in time, although we had a rollover from Mangaung, we don't have a problem. They show a sign of spending their amount. The entire grant in this financial year is 10.5, which is your initial voted allocation. With the rollovers of 764, and you will realize that they are big. If we leave it to this point, we will have another rollover of 2 billion in the financial year. But that only takes your total budget to 11.7 that needs to be spent by the end of the financial year of the municipalities and metros. Now, the question that comes to mind is, would the metro spend the entire amount by the 30th of June? We had transferred 6.1 billion of this 10.5, including the 706 that's sitting in their bank account, and that takes the budget to 11.7. And of that amount, half of it was spent. At some point, I think the MCC is saying that we came up with this grant on the basis of the public infrastructure that was not available and for human settlement not to be able to procure top structure. Now, if you look at this grant and the intentions of it, there's a bit of a non-correlation because we need this grant to be able for us to perform our infrastructure where possible, and the issues of the bulk infrastructure where necessary in terms of the system of stands as well. But if you look at the variance, it's a big amount by the end of December, 7.4. Now, you take that amount versus the 6 months ending of the metros, it gives you sort of a worrisome indication as to whether the provinces will spend. So we looked at that. We did not even wait for some technology financial debt of the metros. We had given three metros a warning to say, or rather an indication of whether they'll be in a position to spend the amount. And obviously the three of them, which would be your Ekurhuleni, your KZN, as well as the city of Cape Town. Ekurhuleni rather, thank you, Chief DG. Your Ekurhuleni, Ekurhuleni, as well as the city of Cape Town. The three of them managed to come back to us whereby they were indicating the certainty of the money to be spent. But as we were doing the analysis, because it allows us to do an analysis of whether they would be spending, we came to a conclusion, which would be your slide following the other one level. The next one. The intervention.
Correct.
We came to a conclusion that the two metros, which is Ekurhuleni and the city of Vietnam, would not spend the entire amount by the 30th of June. So having indicated that we had received responses from Ekurhuleni, they had a number of indications of where the grant was used, but upon the analysis, we also concluded that they would not be able to spend the amount. The next slide talks to the city of Cape Town response, whereby they indicated that they had a trend of spending the grant. And that on its own suggests to say that we should look at the trends that they had and they would spend the money. However, further to that, they indicated that should we stop the money, it would have some implications on the breach of contract and claims that your contractors would not be paid. There would be some mitigations in terms of your costs, and the infrastructure and formal settlement targets would not be met. But these are the things we wanted to get a concrete and if not a substantial evidence in terms of whether the money would be spent. At Chogini, we realized that they were the first time offender, if I may use the word, as the DGs use it. We concluded to say we would not take money away from Chogini as proposed,
and we would focus only on Ekurhuleni as well as the city of Cape Town and take away an amount of 150 from the city of Cape Town, and the deed would come in and indicate the number of plots of the measures that we had analyzed as eligible to receive the money and be able to absorb the additional funds. So 150 would be stopped from the city of Cape Town, 300 obviously from the Ekurhuleni, because they're sitting with the land but and they did not actually show any indication of whether the money would really be spent and produce the goodness as we would have expected. We had indicated the discussions around that would also include your virtuals, your department, the ADA, in terms of intervention. And ADA as well plays a bigger role, because in most of the instances, there's an element of your social units that needs to be acquired. However, there's also the issue of land that needs to be taken. So the two vehicles are being used for us to fast-track the placement of the two programs, which is your land parcel acquisition as well as your acquisition of social and rental units. The next slide talks to the performance of each and every measure, and I would take it that members have read a number of slides and they talk to different targets that Metro had indicated what the USDG had bought. I will hand over to the executive or to talk to them. And I think the last one, Chairperson, before I step out, is the issue of the capacity grant, which I think you said you all would speak to that. That ends my talk, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, just in relation to the Municipal Limited Women's Grant, Chair, this grant, you'll know that in terms of where we sit at the 31st of December, there was an amount of 100 million that was provided for this financial year, that's 15-16. We have transferred the entire 15-16 amount of 100 million. From the 14-15, you will remember there's a rollover of 221 million. And it's made up of 23 million rollover for Nelson Mandela, 50 million for Ekurhuleni, 59 for City of Joburg, 16 for City of Tshwane, 39 for Itakwini, and 31 million for the City of Cape Town. The total available to two metros was 321, which as a spent, I just need to reiterate, I won't go through this. We have transferred 321 million to Metro of this human settlement capacity grant. Of that 320 million transfer to date, which had all been done by the 1st of July 2015, they only managed to spend 30 million. I want to reiterate it. We've transferred 321, and they've only managed to spend 30. And the reason I'm stopping at is the Municipal Human Settlements Capacity Grant. And in essence, those municipalities that had almost a year to spend 221 million. And of importance, Chair, is to link the performance of this grant to the performances in relation to the other settlements development grant. Because in essence, we are giving the metros money to provide them with capacity to be able to spend. And they don't even have the capacity to be able to spend money for capacity support. I want to reiterate that, and it particularly comes to that. And I think the issue is that one of the issues that we need to be able to. So of the percentage spent, so 9.6% that was spent, and they've got 90 odd available. Chair, I don't know if I've covered the point. Chair, just in relation to the performances, I think, as I indicated, one of the things that we need to be able to just, and I'm just going to go to the slide around the performances on the USDG to indicate some of the highlights that we need to share. If you look at what are the green shoots, the best performing metro, as we said, is Nelson Mandela. And we can say that unequivocally, in terms of objective overview, in relation to their performances. You see Nelson Mandela in terms of the USDG had an amount of 846 allocated in terms of the USDG. We transferred 542 million. Of that 542 million, they spent 46% of that. And if you just look at their performances, even in relation to their targets in relation to other settlements, they spent 72, yeah, 72 of transfer percentage, 72 of transfer. Sharif, it's important to note that also in relation to their service ends, as some members will know, it's one of those big indicators, particularly in informal settlements, they're performing well. And in relation to that, you can translate that. Chair, why was the decision, and I think the NDG will discover that, I'll go back to the slide that speaks about the the reasons for the HSDG expenditure, and I'll just go back to this slide, which gives you an indication of the two red flags that we spoke about. You'll see that the justification for the allocations was that the two best performing performance of the three best performing provinces at this stage is KZN, followed by the Eastern Cape and Northwest. And when we say that, it's in relation to expenditure, in relation to unit costs, and in relation to their budget management. I don't know if you can hear. Thanks, Chair.
Sure. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, Chair. On the USDG side, Chair, we've been very much hands-on. We know exactly what is happening in each and every one of those metros. We're meeting the city manager and his team, city manager of Cape Town, this afternoon at 2 o'clock. We've met with the operational team already. We've done our own assessments of what is doable there and what is not doable. We did the same in Tequini. We met at Tequini. We're meeting with the city manager this Friday, and we will be discussing what's doable and what's not doable. We met with Ekuruleni. I also had a meeting with the city manager and the mayor of Ekuruleni. We know what is doable there as well. We have asked HDA to assist us with a pipeline of projects, packaging the pipeline of projects there. We have agreed with the Ekuruleni Metro on what needs to be done to package those projects. I think they have struggled with supply chain processes throughout the year. They will be making those appointments before the end of the municipal financial year. The reality is that they will not be able to spend the entire amount. We've done our assessment. The same applies to Cape Town. We've done our own assessment, and we are very convinced that they will not be able to spend the entire allocation. Tequini used to have a system that worked very well, where every Monday the city manager will meet with all the program managers and all the project managers, and they will look at the top 150 capital projects, because those top 150 capital projects are the projects that will help them to look good. So that's why Tequini, for the last 3 years, Tequini has been a star performer. You can see the figures. They also got the Garden League Awards as the best performing metro. We were a little bit surprised this year to see them sitting at 23%. I think if you look at January figures, we have up to December. If you look at January figures, Tequini, City of Cape Town, and Ekuruleni were all sitting at 33%. That's why we've written to the city managers of those three metros, warning them that if the picture does not change, we will have no option but to rehabilitate the grant, because we just can't afford to have rollovers, not in this current fiscal clarity. There are too many competing demands for the budget, and we can't afford to model it for rollovers. In fact, there will be no rollovers. Claire has made it very clear to all of us that going forward there will be no rollovers. So it's important that for us to save up the budget and make sure that we spend the budget on programs that are performed, we need to make decisions, not in May, not in April, because in April or in May it's too late. We have to make a decision now to move the funds from poor performing metros to high performing metros, or rather from poor performing programs to high performing programs. So that's the decision that we need to take before the end of February. Why February is important? The last tranche on USDG has to be done on the 29th of February. So if you don't make a decision in February, then you have no option but to disperse the entire amount to the metros, and that's not what we want to do. Because if we disperse the money to the metros that are not performing on the 29th of February, that will be tantamount to dumping the grant. So we have to make a decision. Some of them are going to be hard decisions. Unfortunately, they have to be made before the end of February. Thank you, Chair. Thanks for giving us time to explain this. Thank you.
Thank you, ex-CC, for all the tabled reports. Members, you have the report. It's time now for discussion. I'll take a hand. Honorable Sifone, followed by Honorable Bam, Honorable Ghana, followed by Honorable Mezi, Honorable Makamusa, followed by Honorable Kurai, Honorable Kada, followed by Honorable Kap. In that order.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you from the department for their honest presentation. But Chairperson, my first concern, Chairperson, is the destabilization of the department. Because if you can check the department, even the highest officials of the department are acting. Just imagine if the DG is acting DG for so long. What expect from the department? Because even the officials from other provinces, most of them are acting. And most of them are new. I'm talking about even Gautin and Brum Gautin. I know what is happening in the human settlement. They are all new. It means now they are worse, because even the MSC is new. What do you expect from the province? These are kind of cares that we are going to face. And I'm not sure that this story is, because it's not the first time that the National Department briefed us about the Arab spend or underperformance of Gauteng, Mbombo and Northern Cape. Northern Cape. They actually even gave us some remedy. What are they going to do? What is the outcome of this remedy? Because Gauteng last in 2014-2015 they were understand. 2018-2014 they understand. 2014-2013 they understand. It means now it's worse. They are again going to understand. Even now it's worse, because they are going to shift money to other provinces, which is actually the concern for me as a person, because I'm from Gauteng. I know challenges that we are facing in Gauteng. Every kid know what's happening in Gauteng. And the CFO knows what he was able to do. She knows what challenges are there in those districts, in those metros.
And a lot of children, there was nothing that has been said about
Botswana. It shows that Swan is just everything's going well, but we are not going well. Swan, there are a lot of challenges in Swan. What is happening? Why are they overlooking issues of Botswana and Jefferson?
And the other Jefferson is the one of performing of USPG by underperforming as a role, not even performing by Eguruleni. What are they going to do?
Because Eguruleni, they have no capacity. They have no capacity. They have no capacity.
They have promised us that they are going to send some officials from National to go in and work in those underperformed municipality or metros. What have they done since then, even here in Cape Town? And I think it should be good. And there's the other one, which is on page 30. On page 30. They budget for SHRA for institutionally and capacity in the structure and grant, but there is no spend. There was no figure. I was writing, those figures, and there is no spend there. What is it? And then the last one, Chairperson, the shifting of money supposed to be gazetted, but there was some money that has been given to HDA. How can you give something to NTT when there was no gazette? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you to the department for the very lengthy presentation. Unfortunately, the pages are not marked, so we just want to talk, not to refer any particular page. At the beginning, it was presented that the targets would be met by the end of time. But at the end, the targets now, when the acting director general was presenting the last presentation, he was saying that these targets, there's doubt that these targets will be met. In fact, he is positive that these targets will be met, which is which. Also, are we sure that there is a non-alignment of the expenditure in some of the provinces, which province was this? I've forgotten the province. But is there proof of alignment of the expenditure to the so-called number of delivered houses? Thank you, Chair. The question of staff is a very worrying question indeed, because there cannot be real stability when it's a Hollywood type of situation all the time. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you very much for the presentation. Though it was very difficult to follow. I think something needs to be done, Chair, something needs to be said, but we only see the report yet, because apparently the file was 2 weeks.
for us to retrieve it. So when you are presenting, we have to try to go to the end and try to keep the note of what we want to ask. But there are a few things that I want to raise. I just want to say that, you know, the department is a department of human documents, which means it's more concerned with the document of people rather than the actual structure. But then if you look through especially the performance of HSDG and other areas, we are still in the mindset of the Department of Housing. We can report the number of houses that were built, you know, but I think that we think that that's where the money should be. But very little is said. I mean, the entire presentation, in one or two areas, talks about the people that are supposed to have been serviced. And one of the issues, one of the challenges that I have, especially when we look at the performance, is that we put in the number of units that were built, I presume they are completed, but we have not seen anything about the people that this benefited from this. Because if one looks at the title deed, maybe that would be a good indication. We have built 33,000 houses and were given over 40,000 title deeds of new houses, which would mean that 6,000 houses are either, as we speak, classified as completed, but they're likely to be unoccupied. Because we have nothing to say how many of the houses that have been concluded are occupied. So I suggest that going forward, we must be more concerned about the human settlement side of things rather than the housing or the physical structure. But at least with the LED, there has to be a person that title is given to. And as far as I can read from this, around 40,000 people will give a title. So 40,000 beneficiaries can be traced. But then what happened to the other 33,000 that are not accounted for in the report? Chair, maybe because Marikana is mentioned in the report, if we can get something, you know, Marikana has been meeting since the 7th of January when the department went to Marikana to hand over the house. And as we speak now, the police nyalas are trying to maintain feeding Marikana. And I know that there's 100 million that has gone to the mining house in the northwest. But the situation there is escalating and it's going to areas that we will not want to comment to. If we can just get the data update regarding Marikana, because I know that the Department of Human Settlements Northwest did get the cost interlinked regarding the illegal occupation of the houses in Marikana. Mm-hmm. So you can get something to that. If it was not in the report, I was not going to raise it. But because it's in the report, I think it's only fair that I raise it. Chair, I think COO, Honorable Soren says that Sundiwood, I will be very happy coming into the department, seeing that there are so many experts in the department. You raised, you know, you are being optimistic around achieving that 55,000 units, but in the last quarter. And then if you look at the difference between quarter two and quarter three, the proponents actually dropped rather than increased. And what we usually get is that we start slow and then we start increasing as the year progresses. But then the difference between quarter two and quarter three in terms of the performance, it actually went down, I think, from 43,000 to 35,000. So if it went down by the end of December to 35,000, which is actually the average that we're going at, and then we say that in the last 3 months we're going to get that 55,000. I want to be as optimistic as you, but I'm not sure what happened in December. I know someone will say, no, from the 15th, construction companies are not there and so forth. But in many, many years, you know, we see the graph going up because by October, you are finishing off houses. I mean, it's not like the houses started in October and finished by the 15th of December, but it's the houses that are finished in that period. So maybe something that we need to look at. The housing one, Honorable Stoller raised it. It's a huge concern because we're taking 1 billion from housing. Okay? And the child of it has gone to the front of the Bay. You know? And I know you said Nelson Mandela Bay is performing well. I mean, we have the entire department that came to Nelson Mandela Bay. I think, if we are to be fair and honest, Nelson Mandela Bay is not really performing. It's the Department of Human Development that has kept the Nelson Mandela Bay that is helping it to perform. And if we were to have that kind of intervention in housing, maybe we wouldn't be having this problem. But since we are allowing the housing issue to keep, I mean, every time we're here, it's housing in Limpopo. But then when there was an issue in Nelson Mandela Bay where the department took a lot of resources, I mean human resources, to Nelson Mandela Bay, but there doesn't seem to be as much concern regarding Limpopo and housing. Because every year we come back and say, no, our spending is low because housing is very low. So it's something that maybe we need to look at in terms of how do we choose the areas that we prioritize and compared to others. And then just quickly, the overspending by Eden Cape on replication. I mean, this is another one. This has been the only concern since I became member of this committee. The Eden Cape is always overspending when it comes to replication. And I keep on asking, is it the problem of planning at first when the business plans are submitted, and they submit a number that's conservative, and as a legal department you are having that, but then the actual spending in the for the program itself always exceeds what is that they want to spend in. I'm not sure whether they identify houses after submitting their plans, or as we speak now they have houses that they want to rectify for the next financial year, because it can't continue that every time there's a only reallocation of resources from other programs into the rectification. I mean, that's been going on for the last couple of years. Finally, this is the final one. Final. The municipal grant. We give municipalities money to capacity themselves, even though they don't have capacity to spend that money. Shouldn't we actually not be giving municipalities real capacity in terms of human beings? Because if you currently, let's take the metros that you have planned. Currently they are not spending that money because they do not have the capacity to spend that money. So if you add another 50, 60 billion on top of what they can spend, we expect them to miraculously find capacity to spend the 50 million or to build their own capacity. I think here we try to throw money at the problem. And if you look at the low expenditure, it's this one. $300 million and less than 32 million spent to build capacity. I mean, you ask what is they buy? 30 million over 18 months. It's what? Few computers, an S here, a mobile there. I mean, I think we need the proper report in terms of what the metros have failed to spend on. What would they have liked to spend this money on? Because if it's the 270 million that are available, that's what's available, that no one can spend it because they don't even have capacity to spend the money as opposed to capacity to spend.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think maybe starting from where my colleague has just left, maybe I must indeed note that the acting and the changes that are taking place in the department, indeed as a portfolio, we're not thinking that is a good thing, it's not a good thing. So I think that should be noted. The portfolio does not agree with that. My colleague has said so. But maybe one positive point on the changes which we must also look into. Some of the faces are people that have always been in the industry. So you're never saying have always been in the industry. Even the new CFO has always been in the store.
what we may be complaining much as seeing a chaos, we may as well see, you see, because the problem in this world, there's always a positive side, even in something that looks bad. So changes, by their nature, they make those of us who are conservative to think there's chaos, even if there's no real chaos. You see, these are the changes, not used to changes, but indeed, maybe changes must be managed. You see. So that you take everybody along. Also, it must not be like you are in a business of changing. So we are in a business of putting houses and amenities. That's our business, not of changing faces. So I think while I'm also supporting changes here and there, because with changes you also get new ideas and new blood. You see, look, the CEO has just come. It's even more helpful. This morning, yet some targeted noise that you didn't know where does it come. You can see she's really coming with a lot of things. Talking about the municipal capacity and throwing monies into problems, I think, colleagues, maybe if we were to look at this on the other angle, if the department would have given them money to capacitate themselves, would be saying something different. Would be saying, you are not capacitating them. How on earth will they then better their situation? So now that they have given the money to correct the situation, we are saying, no, you're throwing money into a problem. I think maybe we must reconsider the way we're looking at it. We should appreciate that this department have done something to correct. So municipalities have always been complaining that they're not assisted to hire and they have themselves ready. Now that they are given, I think we should not be just blaming even if the department has done the bit they could do. I think from where I sit on this one of giving them money to capacitate themselves, I think you should be appreciated. We may as well then add that besides giving them the financial capacity, you should also do what you presented previously of also going there, seconding some officials depending on their areas of weakness. Some people who might also physically maybe treat them, which is difficult because that would mean you'll be running all the municipalities, not the department. So I think, but do what is possible. Maybe don't only throw money, maybe do what to follow the beat, to what may be the problem now that they have money. So but I don't think we should not appreciate that at least you had given them something in order for them to change the situation. So they also, you know, when officials are hired, I have said in many interviews, all of them, they have said they are well capacitated both academically and with experience. They can go the extra mile. But when the time to prove is around, you see something else. So I think they also have a duty to do their bit. So I think in terms of other points, such as the rectification, if I see my colleague is bringing that point, indeed, this point, the rectification, when we move on the ground, we do think there is a need for this kind of a program. So maybe it's more visible in Eastern Cape, but it's a program that I think, because initially we are beginning to, I think the department is getting wiser, the entities that are now assisting the builders, that are now taking the work they are doing they are now beginning to do their work. But before that, you in all provinces, whether it's Gauteng, you have a lot of projects that still need rectification. I think at one point we'll have to bite the bullet, because you are shooting with projects that are still quite or standing they are unoccupied because of some small things that must be fixed. So I think rectification on its own is something that we may not see it on a bad light only, but it speaks to the problem that is there. But we need to be told properly what was being fixed, because if we are not told properly what was being fixed, we must accept that our people, in Canada, those of us that are from the previous disadvantage background, sometimes when we had the opportunity, it was the first time, so we had to make some mistakes, some defending contractors. So, but I think everybody has said it's equal to the task, so we must also deal with them accordingly. They must be blacklisted. They said, in other words, that leave project unfinished, there should be consequences for such contractors. Because if you dump projects and you don't blacklist them, you don't only blacklist the name, you blacklist it even the individuals through their ID, so that if they mention the name, you still can identify the owners. I think that will also assist. I think those should be the advices we're giving so that we help the situation. So I think camping in Gauteng, camping everywhere, camping, I think that might not be very easy. You can't camp everywhere. So I think the fact that you have camped in Nelson Mandela is a good example that at least where there is a need, you do something and you have impact. I think as a portfolio, we must appreciate that. That at least where you are involved, everybody now can see. To afford it, even once the portfolio members even want you to come in Gauteng, which I know won't be possible, you can't come everywhere. You see? So, but it's a good example that you are doing well. When you have camped, everybody can see that you are moving. It is also to a point they might want to everywhere, but the real thing is the capacity, is to capacitate, is to all of us to turn that in the act as a portfolio, to speak to these provinces, so that we don't really make you to move everywhere like a headless chicken. So we must be sympathetic of the good work you are doing. I think from where I sit, this third quarter report does show that in spite of these changes, which might have slowed down the progress, but you have risen to the challenge. So I think from where I sit, we should have a reason to hope that indeed you are going to do better in the last quarter, and you must do better. I think I'm happy about this point, that you are taking action, that there's more rollover. I'm quite happy, because that's leadership. You see, because the money belongs to the department, the money belongs to the people of South Africa. It doesn't matter which province. So we would have loved, because Gauteng is the most populated province, would have loved it to be utilized there, but if it can't be utilized as we stand now, it's better than be used elsewhere than it being taken there by Treasury. I won't be assisting Gauteng people by taking it back to Treasury. So I think your decision should be saluted. We think it's a good decision. There should be no rollover. So, but the point maybe that you are saying you're waiting for budgeting processes, I am suggesting that even when you're waiting, you must write to those departments that you are giving them this money. So you're just waiting for budgeting. So that with that commitment from you, signed by yourselves, they can then plan to spend the money even before it comes. Because planning is what usually kills the progress. If they plan even before they have the money itself, that would be better. That's the advice I think if you have not done that, it should be done. That waiting for gazetting should not really
stop that problem that must receive the money, because otherwise by the time it gets there, there will be no proper place. So the other issues, I think it must be conversated. Sometimes members, my colleagues, if we can see the positive side of some of the issues, like in Northwest, where people were occupied, taking houses that don't belong to them. So for the Department of Management in Northwest to then go to court and interdict is showing them that this is not a banana republic. You don't just go and grab. You see a beautiful woman, you grab. You see a beautiful house, you grab. It doesn't work that way. This is not in South Africa. We are a government here. So I think we should appreciate the department. So you must tell the department also in Northwest that you appreciate. They must continue to do that. They must waste no time. People must not occupy land illegally, buildings illegally. It's not right. So we know the needs. Of course, violence that is taking place in Marikane. We are calling upon people, but from where I see, I've been in Marikane maybe more than 10 times just this year. So I get and see very peaceful people. Very peaceful people. So things are getting better and better. So personally, I can sense that my colleagues think I'm taking too long. But I think from Westridge, the department, I do think, in spite of the problem that raised by members, you are doing a bit. So I would love that indeed from this meeting you must work as if you are meant, so that the fourth quarter must make all of us mind. I do think you will. Thank you very much.
Thank you, members. I've allowed all members that have spoken to you before into yourself. I didn't catch anyone, but I think almost all the members have taken a lot of time, mm-hmm. and now we are really for the ones that are going to speak, with the exception of Mampan. Others, please, we don't have much time, and it's now a member, Makamisa.
I can take the position.
Okay, the position.
No, thank you very much, and let me just to thank the department for the good work. We know the challenge, but please continue to assist when as far as the department. My concern is the overall performance of the department. After all that we have explained and tell the community, what does you think you want to take to turn around the situation in the department? And please say to the department, I'm really concerned about my province. The first day, this slide on the page number 35 talks about the ratification. I didn't catch it very well because I see the annual targets and delivery promise. And I hear from the first day, there's a lot of doubt. And then you go to, it is now so 218 in the next condition. Can you just, I'm not sure if you, but most of all, those slides, if it can be clarified to me, I would be very happy. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Kura, Honorable Kata.
Thank you, Chakasin. And I'm not going to be long. Much as I've got many issues to raise, I don't want to seem like repeating what my colleagues have said, so I'm going to be short. I appreciate the presentation. I think it gave us a clear picture of what is happening in the department. But perhaps before I get to the content of the presentation, I think it's very important, Chairperson, that the department should do the numbering correctly. Always very difficult when you read a report and find other pages with numbers, other pages with that number. So I think they have to be consistent in terms of page numbering. And then regarding the spending in the metros, I think my focus, or rather my interest, is with the USDG, especially the metros that are not performing. And those metros is Ekurhuleni, City of Cape Town, and Durban, rather eThekwini. So I think, much as I don't condone the rollover, but I think what needs to be borne in mind is that rollovers were allowed in the past. And having allowed in the past, then I think having worked in one of the metros, it gave me, in a way, the even the planning always gave that opportunity to say, in the event that, and I'm sure you'll agree with me to say, that human settlement is quite a very complex department. Same applies with spending. Why I'm raising this point, I'm very much concerned when you're saying to us that you've decided, it's one of your recommendations, in fact, that you are going to hold money that is from Ekurhuleni and also the city of Cape Town. And remember, this money has been budgeted for. That means there are projects that this money is going to be linked to. And now, if you are going to hold that money, I think it will have serious implications. I'm not trying to defend them, but I think let us be realistic when we do those things. Therefore, what I would recommend, before Baba Mimit, we agree that these monies must go somewhere else, perhaps as a portfolio, let us also apply our mind. Let us call this portfolio, these measures to come here so that we can see exactly, because I'm very much concerned that all of a sudden now, eThekwini, the money is not going to be taken away because they are first time underspending the money, and yet we find that perhaps the reasons are the same. Because I do not understand why the city of Cape Town and also Ekurhuleni did not give the portfolio, rather the department, exactly where are they in terms of the planning with regard to the money that you are going to take away from them. So it has got a risk in terms of service delivery. So I would recommend to you, Chair, to say, let us call those metros, come and present to the portfolio and see, and then we can apply our mind before the department decides for us to say, okay, we are going to do this. I think let us apply our mind as a portfolio. And also, just to add on what Ghana has said with regards to capacity grant, because my concern has always been, if the department is also very strict when it comes to capacity grant, then how are you capacitating these measures, except that HDA is going to say, okay, HDA is going to do that, HDA is going to do that. At some point, HDA is going to be overcapacitated, because with this HDA, everything, I think at some point, HDA is going to run this department, the way I see it. I'm not going to talk about the issue of staffing, because I raised that point a long time ago to say there's so much instability in this department. And I do not understand how you guys are coping with acting. But I'm glad that at least as the portfolio, we are also very much concerned with the issue of staffing in this department. Thank you, Shepherd.
I'm giving you a chance to
thank you, Chairperson. I won't be long because some of my points were covered by my colleagues. Let me also welcome the presentation from the department. It gave us a light as to what's happening throughout the country. And my question will be on the issue of the underperforming provinces. Can perhaps the department share with us, not so in detail, but just share with us what are the challenges of these provinces, because this is not for the first time that the department comes and then presents, and some of the provinces keep on popping up under the non-performing provinces. And also, what are the interventions, real intervention from the department side to such provinces. And also, you spoke about the title deeds, the issue of the title deeds. I know Jefferson it's going to be a bit out because it's not on the presentation, but when we do our oversight, many of the units
that are maybe handed over by a municipality or a province, you find out there are some exchange of households or units through the intervention or through the interference of a certain councillor in certain municipality, particularly in Khatkonyana local municipality, the fourth under the Northern Cape province, where house or unit are exchanged, you know, unlawfully. What is the intervention of the department or regarding the matter? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. Let me start with the lighter one on this part of the numbering of pages. I think here there was a simple omission. I checked the pages. I found the sequence is correct. When there's a missing number, when you go up to the one, the sequence is correct. Someone forgot to insert page numbers on other pages. That's correct. So that you should not have that time. That thing again. Now, the next one, I think on that, let me start with the one which has not mentioned by my colleagues, this ratification of Eastern Cape. In my observation, Eastern Cape and KZN are having this problem. Now, my problem is that I think my approach is always why? Because, and therefore. That's all what I think is about here. If you tell us why, then you tell us it is because, and therefore, everything is going to happen. It's answer and solve everything. Now, you can see that in the same day, despite all that, but when it comes to, that's why they have that huge expenditure. It seems to me that there is something. Maybe it is the women's of the contractors, but there is something which makes this situation to be obviously there. Therefore, I think there should be a way that it should be corrected, and also we must know about that. I thought in page 34 on that part of this, I thought by now there will be a change in that situation where this is mainly predominantly those two provinces, with those two metro things. I think it's mainly two in Gauteng. I think there should be a way that it can be corrected and it goes to other provinces. I think it was mentioned before. Now, another thing again, I think also you'll assist us by making us clear and understand what will be done to change the situation of poor performance, especially in expenditure, which makes these entities or provinces to perform very late and put them under pressure. It seems to me that something has to be done. It will change and correct that. There is now start of Nelson Mandela Bay. I think also you have a shortcoming there of not saying why you had to come in there or not in other places. And therefore you also say because of that, therefore this is the situation. So that if you must be able to justify why you intervened there and not in the other places. Without being asked by us why you do that. Because I think on the basis of analysis and situations that are existing, but you should explain such things beforehand. Now the main thing is that one, that of the poor capacity. Now I have a problem now where people who needed to be capacitated build capacity. When you give them money for capacity, they don't even have the capacity to build capacity. That one to me is the serious one. What it suggests to me is that maybe something else, not that capacity, is some kind of capacity. To some extent, that if I was writing, I would say, don't give the money to buy capacity. Give them capacity. If you have to get this capacity for them, you identify what they are, and then you give them this capacity because it doesn't seem that they are able to identify and build the capacity for themselves.
when they have don't, when they don't have capacity to get capacity to meet that students' concern. Thank you.
Thank you, members. I would like to raise some questions that I feel that they were not covered by members. First is, let me note, we note the good performance of 96% on the projection spoken, which was December 1995. And I think we deserve an applause of the students for that. But having said that, it's concerning the achievement of 34,344 versus the target of 56,135. It goes back to what when you count individual units that have been built as it has been indicated by other members. That one really is really a concern. And then the other one, I've noted myself the inconsistency of data presented, especially on overall performance, and I think comments to the graph, I think they have been indicated by other members. The understanding of Metro after having given capacity grant, I think it really confirms to us that the decision taken by the minister not to grant the accreditation level 3 to any metro was a proper decision. Because after metros having been given a capacity grant, we still unable to perform to the certificate level. And how could you then give a level 3? So it concerns to us. So in another way, but I think the members that are saying that we need to identify what is it that these metros are lacking on, and then should be able to have a plan to assist them as the members are indicating. It's an important one. On Marikana, I would like to indicate to members that after this, we are going to deal with the program. And on the program, there is a meeting that is going to receive a report on 21 mining towns, revitalization of mining towns. And Marikana is part of that. So the department is not going to dwell on looking into that. We will receive a report and be able to discuss it.
Thank you, Chair. The numbering of the presentation is correct. It's a mistake that should not be made sure. It's done properly. I think it's only professional that we number the digits properly. Chair, on the acting arrangement, I think it's important to respond to the question directly. I may be acting as a DG, but I'm permanent in the department. He's acting as a CEO, but he's a DPG permanent in the department. The CFO is not acting, his purpose is filled. We seconded one of our DGs to act as an acting CEO of SHA. We have appointed the CEO of SHA. The CEO of SHA started on the first week of February. We have a CEO in HDA who is full-time and permanent. The interviews for the DG positions were concluded by the minister. The post was advertised, and I have no doubt in my mind that post will be filled as quickly as possible. And once the post of the DG is filled, then my view is that it cannot be filled before the start of the new financial year, because all those processes have been concluded. Minister has been worried about that, too, especially at the legislative level. It's important that we fill the positions, and I think she has moved with speed in getting those positions filled. And that's why we're not in the here for. And we've advertised the position of the DG, and interviews have been concluded. We'll probably come back here in the new financial year with a fully established or fully filled positions at the executive level and the strategic level. But Chair, I think you've covered some of the comments upon this. I think we've got an experienced team, both at the executive level and also at the chief director level. We've got a very disciplined team in the department who spend hours visiting projects. I think this year we tried everything possible to understand what is happening in provinces and in municipalities, so that when we make a decision, it's an informed decision. In Gauteng, what remedy did we put in place in Gauteng? We took a decision in TDGs to allocate ourselves provinces. Gauteng was allocated to me. I spent almost every week with the AGOD in Gauteng, with the DG of the province. We looked at the credibility of the construction pipeline. Because the only way that you're going to spend your money is if you have a construction pipeline. You already have contractors on site, they are on the ground. But if you're still going through your planning approvals, your environmental approvals, you're not going to spend that money because you don't need much money for those planning approvals and environmental approvals. So the best test of whether the project is going to disperse, is going to help us to spend, is when you have a contractor performing on site. And what we pick up is that in Kaupeng, there were regions where the contractors were not on site and they were still stuck in procurement processes, in interviews. In fact, the new MEC, we met with the new MEC and we briefed the new MEC about which areas need to be targeted in Kaupeng, because we felt that we were struggling in procurement. They were taking almost 6 months to procure contractors and to send contractors to site. So I think that problem will be behind us. So I'm quite convinced that Gauteng, next year we looked at the business plan, we saw who spent the whole of last week with the CEO of Gauteng, Mr. Lokom, going through the business plan for the next financial year. And we applied our readiness metrics. That's the tool that we use, which is also a division of revenue that people approve the business plan and apply the readiness metrics. So we're very convinced. And again, they're coming out of a very bad patch where they were spending money on accruals, spending money on planning, but you're not getting the output. In fact, they were spending almost 400 million on the professional teams on planning, but the output wasn't coming out. They were also spending money on the hills of the asbestos, and I think we talked about it. So this year, what we're trying to do is to say to Gauteng, focus on those things that are going to give us the numbers. Package those projects that will give us the units, and they've done it. I think they've done. If you even know the figures look bad for this year, you will see at the end of the financial year, Gauteng will be better than last year. Last year, we've only delivered 14,000 top structures and 6,000 cell sites. And this year, they will deliver more than that, but we still believe that Gauteng will deliver in excess of more than 40,000 housing opportunities. Gauteng should be performing better than KZN. But as things stand, KZN is delivering about 85,000 opportunities per annum. And Gauteng with a bigger positive delivering less. That's the situation that we want to change in Gauteng so that we can get the numbers. If Gauteng doesn't perform, we feel it as a sector, the numbers go down. So we spend the entire year this year with the DG of the province, with the CEO of AGA, with the HOD. There was no actual HOD in Gauteng, there was an HOD in place. We spent some time managing the pipeline, and we're convinced that things will change in the next financial year. The RCG and the TRA, we think that picture will change. They have already done the drawdown for the last quarter. I think they have requested 109 million. The new CEO has been in the industry for a very long time. He's a former CEO of JOSCO. So he understands the business of social housing very well. So we've discussed with him on how to spend the remaining amount. Remember, the extra budget was cut by 600 million rands, not only 61. So they left with 482. They have already done a drawdown of more than 109 million. There is a plan in place which we presented here as to how to improve the pipeline, the social housing pipeline in Shram. We think that the new CEO will help us to achieve the exit to that plan. Why Tswane is not mentioned? We looked at Tswane. Tswane, as we speak, they have significant numbers set aside. But without that, they will not be able. If we do a reallocation to Tswane, they won't be able to absorb more money. But in terms of performance, they're not in the ICU right now. We sit down with the team, we look at the projects on site, the results that they will still be able to perform this year. But we can't give them additional allocation. So Tswane, we'll be watching the performance of Tswane. They do have a number of Katan projects that they are implementing. But we felt that Cape Town and Ekurhuleni, they have had a rollover for the last 2 years. Is it 2 years or 3 years? The last years. Remember, Cape Town had a rollover of 286 million in 2013, 2014. They had a rollover of 163 in the last financial year. Ekurhuleni had a rollover of 188 in 2018, and they had a rollover of about 400 million. In the last financial year. Now, you can't have a rollover 3 years in a row. We can't tolerate rollovers for 3 years in a row, because if you roll over 3 years in a row, it signifies that you don't need the money to fund the capital. But we're not reckless about these decisions. We've looked at the projects. We've looked at state of readiness of each and every project that is in the built environment governance plan. We've looked at the projects that are in the business plan, the in-year business plan. And we're quite convinced that the two nurses don't have contractual commitments that will help them to spend the money. Remember, there is what we call the aspirational commitment. You aspire to spend the money, and you tell everyone that you have a commitment. There is a contractual commitment where you sign a contract, and the contractor is on site, and those are the contractors who are going to help you to spend the money. So we assessed each and every project from these two nurses. We looked at Chikwin, we looked at Swan, we looked at Jobek, and we came to one conclusion that Ekurhuleni and Cape Town, because they're still struggling with the previous rollover. Remember, it's not a rollover. Chances are, if you have not managed your pipeline properly, you are going to have another rollover. Rollovers lead to other rollovers, because you have to do a quick catch up to be able to spend the money. So that's the challenge that we're faced with in these two metros. But there is a pipeline of projects which will kick in probably in the next financial year. And in the next financial year, if we don't make a decision now, they will have another rollover, which they will have to deal with. So what we're saying is that let's go through these projects individually. The operational team has looked at all of those projects, and they were convinced that in the two metros, in fact, if you read the application, both Ekurhuleni and Tswane, sorry, Ekurhuleni and Cape Town, they even projected with the numbers that they will reach 90% of the exchange. They're not telling you that we'll spend 100%. They're making a projection of 90% expenditure, which tells you that if they project 90%, they will take the 10% and give it to those networks that will be able to help us to perform, spend the money. And we can't wait and sit and hope that they will get to 100 when the networks themselves, or the government and sit down are projecting 90%. So we're taking that decision to reallocate the grant in the best interest of the sector. Then the question about focusing on human settlements, on the human aspect of human settlements, I think we take that as a recommendation. That you see it when we presented MTSF targets. We tend to present those targets that talk to the human aspect of human settlements. And maybe we need to invest, that your recommendation is that we need to invest time in packaging the reporting arrangement so that we can report on how many beneficiaries have been allocated houses to date, how many families have been issued, and I think that's a constructive recommendation. Then there was a question about some of the structure of the coalition. We'll look at it, and I think we need to to keep it short and say to the point, I think the only challenge is that we're dealing with two quarters. Now that's why it's so bulky. We in the tournament we have both quarter two and quarter three. In the past we would focus on one quarter. But again the recommendation is taken that we need to streamline the presentation and make it shorter. My colleagues will come in and take some of the questions. On Nelson Mandela Bay Metro, it's not only Nelson Mandela Bay Metro, we had our official in Limpopo, Mr. Philip Chaukwe, who is now appointed as the DDG in Limpopo, was seconded to Limpopo by Minister Sisulu. And if you look at Limpopo figures, again, compare Limpopo this year and last year, you'll see that already. The city has more than 5,000 units. I think that's a significant improvement as compared to last year. But we've asked them to scale up. We were very much hands-on. We met them last week on Friday. We're meeting them every week. And we asked them to expand the scope of some of the contractors, that are performing. Because in terms of the Public Finance Management Act, you can expand the scope by 15%, otherwise it's just 15%. So we've asked Limpopo to expand the scope on those contractors that are already on site so that they can improve their performance. They were simply focusing on appointing contractors, and I told them that if you're still busy with appointing contractors now, you're not going to meet your target. Use the existing contractors. They've appointed a number of contractors early in the year. Expanded the scope of those contractors. Expanded by 50%, because if you go above 15%, there will be an audit query. And Treasury and the AG will not be very impressed. So we gave them a practical recommendation of what they need to do to improve the figure. They were targeting to deliver 8,000 units, 8,000 top structures in this current financial year. And they were sitting on the 31st of January, they were sitting at about 4,000. So we felt that we can push those numbers, even if they don't achieve the exact 8,000. Chair, we are optimistic because we're comparing maybe what we need to present is the status of the 55,000. Remember, the 55,000 is made up of top structures and service sites. Now, if you want to do a reality check of that 55,000, the question that we must ask ourselves is, where are those units? Are they at window pane level? Are they at rooftop level? Are they at slab level? Or nothing has happened at all? Because that's what is going to test the optimism, whether you'll be able to meet your target or not. So when we ask policies to report, we always ask them to report based on work in progress or milestones. And we can share with you that information, because that's what's going to help us or help you to share the optimism that Mr. Cheney is sharing with us. So my view is that we can come back and give you the state of readiness of the 55,930. We didn't want to move funds from Gauteng, but we arrived at a decision, because once you leave it until it's too late, then you won't be able to do anything. Gauteng last year spent about 1.4 billion in the last month of the financial year, and Treasury was not very impressed because they felt that this is not quality spending. If you spend 1.4 in the last month, then you're in trouble. So this year we said, we're spending in housing, but we're not getting the numbers. What we are going to do this year, we will then reallocate grants to provinces or municipalities or projects that will give us the numbers. And that's basically what we have done. We only moved 900 million, not the entire 1.2. The 300 million stays behind. And we said HDA must then assist the province to spend that money on those projects that will give us units next year, for example. The 300 million can be used for creating a pipeline for next year. That's basically what we have said. We have not transferred money to HDA. We can't transfer money to HDA because the money was directed and allocated for Gauteng. So if we have to go to HDA, then we must get a special gazette. The reason why we still have not redirected the money, we informed all the provinces, honorable members, we wrote to all the provinces and told them that they would be getting an extra addition. KZN, they had an arrangement with provincial treasury. Provincial treasury bridge fund because the appropriations bill has to be signed into a an act into a law by the president. Now, the president cannot disperse the money before the act is signed. That's what is delaying us. In the last financial year, it was signed in January, before the end of January. This year, I think there were a little bit of delays. Understandable, so, because president had to, you know, to deal with some budget cuts, and they wanted to make sure that before anything is presented, we must be 100% sure that it makes sense. So they delayed the budgeting because of the fiscal situation that the company is faced with. So we're not only jumping in Nelson Mandela, we're jumping in all the other areas where there is a big risk of foreign expenditure. In some cases, we will leave an individual, an official. For instance, in Nelson Mandela Bay, we only seconded two officials. We didn't second the entire department. It's only two officials. One is an ED for human settlements, and another one is a housing director. Those are two officials that we seconded. But we meet now and then. We have a steering committee that I chair. The HOD of the province, the CEO of SDA, the EG from the Metro, they all participate in that meeting. In fact, the next one is next week Friday. The capacity building grant, I think we are being given guidance as to how to deal with this grant. I was never in support of this grant when it was started, but I got convinced by a number of colleagues from Treasury, from the presidency, that we need to do this. And my view is simple. My view was that if you look at every metro has plus minus 18 departments. Human settlement is one department. Now, if we're serious about capacity, we have to look at what is happening in other departments as well, not just the human settlement department. A good municipality, George municipality, sometimes they use the engineering department. They will source expertise from their own engineering department and use them as construction project managers. We've seen, I think Rastenberg does the same as well. There are a number of municipalities, small municipalities, that are well managed and that will use their own internal capacity in other departments to manage their own capacity. If we have to throw money into a program, I think it will be the small and medium-sized municipalities. I think the metros, we need to find a different model of capacitating them, and I think that's the message that you're seeing. Well, they were given this money to go by construction project managers, to go by town planners, and I don't know why it was difficult to do so, to go by the built environment specialists, because these built environment specialists, most of them, they don't come cheap. That's why we make their money available. And they would prefer to work in other countries, in Dubai, Australia, or Canada. So we said to them, some of them want to be consulted. So here is the money. Go buy the professionals that you need to manage your project. And this money was given to them in the last financial year, the municipal financial year. And what we had hoped that will happen is that they will go out and source those expertise. Whether they source them from the extra or they source them from other professional bodies, like your town planning council. We find it very strange that they're struggling to spend the grant. Maybe that's not what they were looking for in the first place. But again, the problem is that maybe withdrawing the money to the problem, it could be. But my view is that municipal processes are very cumbersome. They're very tedious and time consuming. For anything, they have to go out on tender and make sure that they run the entire process. But maybe the plans as well were not credible enough. But I think we will take a decision. Unfortunately, this grant is going to be discontinued. In the next financial year, municipal financial year, this grant is not going to be continued. The Treasury has taken a decision to do away with this grant. And again, because it has not been performing, you will probably say, well, it's not needed. And remember, every time you have a rollover, and you that rollover, the grant is not performing, Treasury will have it, because the view is that the grant is not performing. There are too many committing demands in the country. So we can't be applying for rollovers. But we will apply for rollovers where it's necessary. There's contractual commitment, and we can demonstrate that there's a contractor and there's a contract. And that contractor and the contract has to be honored. So we will do that. We're not going to be reckless about these things. But what we can do, we can't allow rollovers to continue for 3 years in a row. I think we need to apply our mind and make a decision. Unfortunately, we have up until the 29th of February to make that decision. On Marikana, I won't dwell on it. we were there, the houses were handed over. There's some commotion that took place, but we're managing the project with the police. I talked to the commissioner myself a month ago about what needs to happen. We need to protect our assets, and we need to make sure that the government and the public understand is protected. But we have a functioning steering committee, and in that steering committee, there's one meeting, there is Rattenberg municipality, there is the province, the BDG stakeholder management from the department shares the steering committee. So we know what is happening in Malikana, we know some of the challenges, and we'll come and present that to you. There was a question about rectification, and it was noted. If you look at KZN, KZN has stayed within the budget. They are rectifying 2,000 plus units. The policy says you can do up to 10% of your budget, not more than 10%. If you look at the figures, the Eastern Cape figures, it means they've gone about 10%. And if you go above 10%, it becomes an instant audit claim because you're violating the policy. So if you look at KLM, they have a budget of 3.2 billion. If you get to their 93 million, which tells you that, 98 million, sorry, which tells you that it's still sitting within the 10% budget cap, which is allowed. But Eastern Cape is worse because they're sitting at 351 million. And 351 million is more than 10% of the $2 billion budget that Eastern Cape is managing. So we will have to write some strong letters to the agency. We've already warned them that they need to stay within the budget. Then in terms of I'll leave some of the questions that I have not covered to my colleagues. The question about fleece, the CFO can respond to that one. The question about the hydro leaks and what is happening in California in the Northern Cape. Unfortunately, because we don't have transactional support to beneficiaries in the township, people sometimes they sell the houses without knowing the value of the house. Maybe if someone has a cousin who has passed away somewhere in Limpopo, and that person decides to sell a house for 20,000 rand when the house is valued at 50,000 or 60,000. The problem is that people sometimes, out of desperation, they sell these houses and they will go to politicians and sign affidavits. And that is illegal, unfortunately. Remember, in the title deeds of these houses, there is also a restriction which says you can't sell it before 8 years. If you do sell it, the first right of refusal is government. In other words, you must, government must say, well, you can go and sell it in the budget center, in the private market. We don't need it. But the challenge is that people do sell the houses and they sell them illegally. This is a problem for the seller and buyer, because even the buyer is buying the house illegally. And that house is not yours, because the restriction in the title deed is very clear that you buy the house before the preemptive rights clause expires, the preemptive rights period expires, then you buy that house illegally. There are instances where the house can be sold legally, but the MSC is the first point of call. In other words, in any province, if an individual wants to sell a house, even after 8 years, the first point of call is the MSC of that province. In some cases, because of administrative challenges, provinces don't have the right capacity to administer these things, and people do not know that they need to go to the Department of Human Settlements in the province if they want to sell a house in that period. Yeah, Chair, I've covered most of the questions, and I have left some of the questions to my colleagues. I'll have a look at some of the questions that he has noted. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, just on the first point, I think the one of the points, and we will at an appropriate time, we have revised some of the policy implementation protocols around FLIS. One of the issues around FLIS is there's two big issues that are preventing us to scale up the program. One is the inability of people to access finance, and there's two reasons: income and also poor credit record, particularly in relation to the issue. So it's one of the big issues. And then the second issue is around the question of the stock and the affordability of that stock. So when you've got a shortage and you've got, you know, there's a supply side. So supply is a big issue, and as a result of that, you find that within that sector, developers have not been able to package that within that amount. So there's a mismatch between supply and demand, and hence there's a share. What we can indicate, and it's one of the big sort of positives, the government employee housing scheme, we've partnered with them, and we'll present that which basically says that particularly our nurses, the civil servants within that middle income group, that we can achieve that. The one issue that we just needed to indicate was that I think what we've indicated is that one of the issues that we need to also understand is that because housing is a concurrent responsibility between ourselves and province, and then there's also the additional issue around the municipalities. I think what we need to be very careful, and I think we've been particularly between Minister ourselves and yourselves as well, is that we've got to be able to respect the difference here. So in Nelson Mandela, for example, the mayor approached Minister and the intervention was made on that. I think sometimes what happens is that provinces don't approach and there's a reluctance. But I think notwithstanding that, if you look at the figures, KZN is performing well. I mean, they've got really good systems in place. They're dealing with issues. Northwest, same story. Eastern Cape, yes, they're having cash flow problems and all those kind of things, but their pipeline's coming through. So Mpumalanga, you know, they're the area of concern, but they're doing well. And I think what we need to be able to do is harness some of those issues. We're also in a particular rebuilding phase in some of those areas around capacity, and I think what we said as a department is not to be able to panic, but to then be able to address those issues. The last point is that it's the same that goes for some of the municipalities. So if you look at the city of Cape Town, if you look at the Ekwini, if you look at Ekurhuleni, the common factor that has been there is that there has been some systematic and institutional changes. Cape Town has just gone through an entire change of its senior leadership in terms of the Human Settlements Department. Now, whether or not municipalities are paying sufficient attention to human settlements is a question that we've raised. But I think it's something that we're addressing. We're indicating that it's important to note there's attention that's being paid to those issues. Thanks, Chair.
Question about the ratification in the first place. Yes, there's no planning there. There's no planning for ratification. We pick that up. We are worried about the first stage, especially the unit cost part of it. And I was just wondering to the CFO that if you look at the first stage, they're sitting at 93 million expenditure on 280 units. And you have these around with 2,000 units, and they're sitting at 98 million. And you can see that KZN is managing the cash and is managing the cash flows very well. And this stage is a little bit of a concern. We've discussed it with the AWD. In fact, there is a plan meeting with the entire interest stage. We even brought it to the attention of the minister. Minister is concerned about the first stage because we feel that we're going for a higher spec. We're building a bigger spec, which is outside the police. And we don't mind if you build a bigger spec, but you have a hop-up. In PHP, one of our programs is PHP. So if you do a PHP and you want to top up, you can top up from your own funds or from something else, or you can get contributions from the private sector or corporate social investment. But if you build a bigger spec and you use the government grant, and that spec is outside of the police, then you are violating the police, and all the queries will kick in immediately. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think what we could just, before perhaps we close, we have a number of food texts that we're going to take with as recommendations and comments made by the committee members. And I think from the emphasis point of view, we should not lose sight of
on the issue of ratification is the fact that we need to look at why there's so much ratification, and if there's an element of consequences that need to be undertaken, and as far as blacklisting has suggested, then that's part of the fact that we need to take. And I think one thing that perhaps we may have missed in the report is some of the reasons why provinces could not spend and the metros could not. But I think as the 18 DG had indicated in the last report that we shall be presenting, it will be like a detailed report that will provide some of the reasons. But at that time, we should be in a position to also indicate interventions that would not be taken forward in the new financial year as mistakes that we shall be repeating. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the responses. I was waiting for your response, the ATTG and the team. Most of the comments that were made by members here are not new. I recall very clear that when we raised the issue of reporting practice in terms of the work in progress, it was in the next event. M504 was seated there, and in that meeting, I remember when raised the DG Zulu at the time, he was not in attendance in that meeting. But we raised and we repeated it in the following meeting when he came, or when I think when he arrived late. But when we raised, he was not in the room. And I remember who raised it. I'm clear who raised that issue. Work in progress. The reporting of beneficiaries that have received the letter, because you can't measure it with the title deed, the product that we have seen, the output, you can't measure it with the title deed, because sometimes the most of the houses, people were in, and we have asked with you about this among ourselves in previous committees, that you will still find in most people in their houses, not with title deed. So that also is a delivery, although now we are striving towards us issuing a handing over a house with a title deed, but there are a number of people that are in the houses. That's a delivery by beneficiaries. That talks to what Honorable Ghana has raised. So my point is that even what Honorable Memezi has raised in terms of the blacklisting and also blacklist the individuals in the company, directors and them, this has been repeatedly raised by the members by this committee. All that you need to do, my wife, is that the people they take notes for you, you have to work on them. That they take notes properly for you, they highlight what action needs to be taken when they give. Because as you are preparing for responses, sometimes you will not be able to catch up everything, but you have support team that needs to do that for you. I think you have to work on that support team for them. Because really, really, there's nothing new that has been raised here. And having said that, thank you very much, the department, for the presentation, and our guests. We'll take a comfort break of 3 minutes as we allow the department to take leave, and then we'll come back as members of the committee to continue with the rest of the business in the agenda. Thank you very much.
You might be there.
Hey, Matt, but I'll get used to it.